My brothers and sisters, I feel almost as if I should look in the coffin and see if I'm there. I'm grateful for Brother Haycock's kindness, and I assure you it was overdone. I congratulate you, our young students who have the good fortune to be students at this great university. I'm grateful that several of our grandchildren are with you. In the 68 years since this month, since I enrolled in the BYU, have been interesting years. Our family was among the refugees fleeing from the Civil War in Mexico, having left all our earthly possessions behind. I was just 17. My uncle Carl Eyring had invited me to come and live with them and go to the BYU. The 2 years I spent here made a lasting impression on my life and developed an ever-increasing love and appreciation for this great school. I hope you appreciate the uniqueness of this church-sponsored institution, my young friends, and realize that the major reason for its existence is to help you, its students, to develop a firm testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as well as to receive an education which will prepare you to be successful men and women in your life's work. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we have taken upon us his name with a commitment to keep his commandments. He set the perfect example for us in his earthly life and has given us a pattern for living which can assure us a useful, happy, productive life here. We realize this is the purpose of our earth life in preparation for life eternal. When Christ was here in mortality, he was asked by the Pharisees, "What is the first and great commandment?" And his answer, as you remember, was, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As we look about us at the lack of love of God or of fellow men in the world today, we realize that failing to keep these commandments has brought the world into the state of war and contention in which we find it. What can we as individuals do about this situation? Our responsibility begins with ourselves. Can we look in the mirror at ourselves and see reflected one who has accomplished self-mastery? Am I honestly able to look to the welfare of my neighbors and be as concerned about them as I am about myself? The primary concern of each of us is to put our own lives in order. We are accountable primarily to ourselves for what happens to us in our lives. The source of real happiness comes from within. We are responsible for our success or failure. And the most fundamental need of every human being is to be loved and needed. This then fosters a feeling of self-worth. Hopefully, each of us makes a firm commitment at the beginning of each day that this day will be a happy and successful experience. We must know that the source of our success and happiness comes from within. We are responsible for our choices. Our free agency is our most priceless possession. Remember that the prophet Joseph said, "We teach them correct principles, and they govern themselves." In the scriptures we read, "There is a law irrevocably decreed in heaven upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we receive any blessing, it is through obedience to that law upon which it is predicated." It's important then that we keep always in mind that while free agency is a law of heaven, it is equally certain that we must take the consequences of our free choice. Therein lies the importance of seeking divine guidance in the use of our free agency, that we may always choose the right. Our question is, what will be the result of my choice? Young people, you young people are the hope of tomorrow. You are here on earth at a time when the forces of evil are bombarding you with false standards, as well as an enlightened age when the knowledge of technology has never been so sophisticated. You are being bombarded with false voices that cry marriage is not necessary. Anything that comes naturally that gives you satisfaction is acceptable. Lie a little, steal a little, take advantage of your neighbors if it will bring you profit. Do your own thing. Close your mind and heart to the voices of evil. Take a long look at the future. Life is eternal. You are your own constant companion through every day of life and throughout all eternity. You cannot escape yourself. You could make choices which might give you a thrill for the moment, but what will be the lasting result? We are spirit children of heavenly parents and have a great potential. We all have direct communication with our Heavenly Father, and He is just as close to us as we will let Him be. He has designed that we, a man and a woman together, with love and companionship, can build a family unit, united in the bonds of eternal marriage, which can carry out His design for the fulfillment of the destiny of the human race. You young people are in a most crucial period of your development. This is the time of preparation and decision. Your choice of an eternal companion will have the most profound effect on your future and the future of civilization. Look for a companion who has similar ideals as your own, one who will help you to be your best self. I quote from a noted historian, "Throughout history, nations have been able to survive a multiplicity of disasters, invasions, famines, earthquakes, epidemics, depressions, but they have never been able to survive the disintegration of the family. The family is the seedbed of economic skills, money habits, attitudes toward work, and the arts of financial independence. The family is a stronger agency of educational success than the school. The family is a stronger teacher of religion than the church. What strengthens the family strengthens society. The role of a father, a mother, and of children is the absolute critical center of social success. If things go well with the family, life is worth living. When the family falters, life falls apart. We of the Church of Jesus Christ have the added knowledge that the family may be the eternal unit of importance if the marriage is sealed for eternity in the holy temple of God. Marriage is an equal partnership between husband and wife. Each has specific roles which the potential of man or woman can fulfill most effectively. The father who holds the priesthood fills most successfully the role of director and protector of the group. His position, hopefully, is never one of autocratic direction, but only of cooperative consideration carried out in perfect love and unselfishness. The role of a successful mother is a lifetime of dedication. It is the most exacting and difficult of all professions open to women. Anyone who would say apologetically, "I'm only a homemaker," has not fully appreciated the importance and intricacy of her profession. Some of the attributes required to be successful are an unlimited amount of love and patience, unselfishness and endurance. A mother should be skilled in child training, in economics and management, in nutrition and nursing. In fact, a well-rounded education will be a great help in her important role both as wife and mother. Some weeks ago, I received a letter from a sweet little girl in Colorado saying, "Sister Kimball, since the church stresses so the importance of a woman's role as wife and mother, do you think it's necessary to have a college education?" You may be sure that I sent her a very detailed a letter of the importance of all the education that a woman can acquire. A well-rounded education will be a great help in a woman's important role, both as wife and mother. There should be love and harmony between husband and wife. In the home is the opportunity for the mother to teach her children to honor and respect their father, who holds the priesthood of God. It is he who will properly preside and lovingly direct the activities of the family. Children should be cherished with the strongest bonds of affection. No sacrifice is too great to protect our families from evil and to rear them in righteousness. Our constant anxiety that all members of the family will live worthy of the eternal blessings promised to those who remain faithful to the end. These suggestions may seem premature to you young people, but I remind you that you are in a period of preparation. It is not too early to make your opportunity for learning meaningful and serious. Hopefully you are here happily making friendships that will be stimulating and lasting. The direction, if you would have a friend, you must be a friend, is a truism. A happy, optimistic outlook on life will help you to attract friends. A smiling countenance and a glad hand clasp are a way of projecting your desire to make friends. Be constantly on the lookout for anyone who seems to be lonely and timid. They need your help. I speak from experience of a long time ago. Develop your talents. Make the most of every opportunity. Be alert and alive, moving forward enthusiastically and joyfully. Life is good if we make it so. I wish to bear my testimony to the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the happiness and joy and feeling of peace that comes when we follow his directions. May our Heavenly Father help each of us to follow the road and do the things which will make it possible for us to live eternally with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.
Amen.